I wonder what pulls us here tonight. What draws us into this building to worship together on the first day of Lent? Are you hoping for some ashes? Yeah? Good, because you're going to get some. You're going to get a smudgy cross, or what passes for one, put on your forehead here tonight before long. When I was a layperson, and I was a layperson for almost all of my life, I was always drawn to this Ash Wednesday service, and even though I was drawn to it, I was a little puzzled. Why? Why am I drawn to this service? Let's face it, parts of the liturgy are a little bit of a downer. Do I really need to be reminded of my wretchedness and all the ways that I fail? All those laws, all those rules, all those things to feel bad about. And I was drawn to this? Yeah. And I was also drawn to the idea of self-examination. But self-examination in hopes of what? I mean, I've got unrealistically high expectations of myself as it is. I'm already hard enough on myself as it is, and I'm guessing that maybe some of you share that trait. I feel like we're all our own worst critics, and we too often fall prey to our inner voice, the one that says, "You're not good enough because..." Fill in the blank. Here's where I sometimes go with it. I'm not good enough. I've let people down. I've let myself down. I could have done so much more. I'm not good enough because I could have done so much better. And it seems like there's this never-ending loop of self-criticism. The psalmist hit the nail on the head when they said, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Well, maybe the awareness of my shortcomings and my defects is not ever, like always, before me, but sometimes it creeps up on me. And when it does, I can make myself pretty miserable. I believe that this negative self-talk, this "oh, wretched person that I am" story that we sometimes tell ourselves is not only uncomfortable, but it can actually be harmful. That is self-examination gone wrong. Every time we tell ourselves, "I'm a loser, I'm a bad person," we become more afraid and more isolated. And I want to encourage all of us to stop that. Shut that story down. If only it were that easy, right? I mean, many of us have had it drilled into our consciousness from a very early age that we're somehow broken, somehow insufficient. It takes work to change that narrative. And sometimes the message of sin and brokenness has come from the Christian church. Sometimes it's come from our families. Sometimes the culture feeds us that story. But it isn't Jesus' message. His message is that we are all worthy, more than sufficient, because we are all children of a loving God. And look, I don't mean to let us off the hook completely here. And I don't believe that Jesus did either. Sometimes we do act in ways that hurt others. We need to be mindful and careful not to do damage to other people. If we believe that we are all beloved children of God, it follows that all people are beloved children of God. Everyone, every individual is God's kid. And I feel that there is a moral imperative here, one that we should aspire to, and that is to treat everyone as we want to be treated. And how do you want to be treated? Isn't it just the best thing to be treated with love and respect, as deserving of love and respect? Well, obviously, this isn't my idea. I didn't come up with it. It's Jesus's main message: love God, love one another, love one another as I have loved you. But you know that that's not always easy. Loving everyone, even the people who offend you, or harder yet, the people who have hurt you. Try it for a day, or maybe for 46 days. That's how long Lent lasts. I count the Sundays. Start today and see if you can love everyone from now until Easter. Sounds good until we think about what that really means. But let's try it. It's hard. You'll see. It is hard. But don't be too hard on yourself if you can't do this perfectly. Don't beat yourself up, but keep trying. That is true repentance. Turning around, seeing yourself and others in a new light, maybe an unfamiliar light, seeing the world, as hard as that may be, seeing everybody in the light of God's love. Trying and succeeding and sometimes failing and then trying again to be God's love in the world in real tangible ways. By telling someone, I care. By showing someone, I care. By going out of your way to do something helpful and kind and expecting nothing in return. By holding your tongue rather than criticizing or belittling. By putting the good of another in front of your own good. That's what true repentance is. It's more than just saying, I'm sorry, forgive me. Although that's a good start. Repentance is trying to be love in the world, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. Jesus told us, you are the salt of the earth. You are alive, and because you are alive, if you have eyes to see, you'll recognize that your life is a miracle and a mystery. Each one of us has this God-given spark of life that is the same spark, and yet it is expressed so differently in each of us. You are salt. I am salt. And we are alive by the grace and love of God. We are also dust. And that's part of the miracle too. We are connected to the very stuff of the earth, to that 6 inches of topsoil that we rely on to keep us alive. It wasn't just Adam who was fashioned out of dirt and breathed into, made alive and inspired by God's love. It is every one of us too. We come from dust, and as long as we are alive, we breathe that same breath that Eve and Adam breathed in the garden, in that beautiful story from Genesis. That's a miracle. And here's the mystery that today's service recognizes. We will all return to dust. It's good to be reminded. There's nothing macabre about it. It's just real. We come from the earth, and we will return to the earth. We come from God, and we will return to God. And sisters and brothers, what do we do in the meantime? What do we do with these miraculous lives we've been given? What do we do in this time and place where we find ourselves, somewhere between our birth and our death? And none of us knows exactly where we stand on that continuum that is our lives. But tonight, we know where we sit. We sit here and now, already in eternity, in St. John's Church, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, on a Wednesday, waiting for ashes. May they be a sign for us, for sure, of our mortality, but also of the great hope that has been given to us, that we can do better today than we did yesterday, that we can love more freely and wildly than we ever have before, because we see the world in a new light, the light of God's love for us and our love for one another. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, we have absolutely nothing to fear. Amen.